This past week, I drove to Pittsburgh to pick up my son from the airport, and as usual, I arrived way too early for the pickup, and I found myself waiting for him. Then I was waiting again as he waited to get off the plane. And then I was waiting again as he made his way to the luggage carousel, and then I was waiting again as he waited for his baggage. And when Tim finally came out of the airport, he was carrying his baggage. Here's what he had. One checked bag, one carry-on, one laptop case. He tossed them into the trunk, and we headed out for supper at a place called Burgatory, because we're burger guys. Tim was starved. He had been waiting to eat since he left Albuquerque in the morning. Waiting. It is a regular part of Christmas. Each of us is here on Christmas Eve, waiting for Christmas morning. Lots of us are waiting for Santa. As a little boy each year, I woke up on Christmas morning, and I would hear a loud, ho, ho, ho. And I'm pretty sure it was Santa, right? Lots of us are waiting for Santa. Waiting is part of Christmas. Some of us are waiting for the last minute. And while none of us would procrastinate to this extent, you can be sure that there are people who still have shopping to do. Tonight, on Christmas Eve. Not me. I'm not waiting until the last minute. However, I did wait until the last minute to wrap some presents, and that was a mistake because it always puts me in a foul mood. I'm not very artistic, and I'm not a good Christmas wrapper. That's why I wait until the last minute to do that sort of thing. Waiting is part of Christmas. Some of us are waiting for family to come. It is great to have my son here for Christmas, but my daughter and her husband, they have church responsibilities at the church where they're on staff. They'll be with us next week, and we are waiting impatiently for that. Waiting is part of Christmas. Now think with me, for a moment about what godly people waited for on that first Christmas. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to think through this. First, it's safe to say they were waiting for the light, not that it was dark outside like it is in our parking lot with that light bulb burned out, but rather they were in spiritual darkness. I think spiritual darkness, I think of that every time I hear the words, long lay the world in sin and error pining. Pining means longing, they're yearning for something, they're waiting. They're waiting for the light. 700 years before it actually happened, Isaiah prophesied about this light, this Jesus coming, when he said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has dawned." And the New Testament says Isaiah was talking about Jesus, that Jesus is the light of the world. And people living in his day, they were waiting for light. Additionally, they awaited a redeemer. Now that word redeemer is not a word that we use much. Here's what it means in this context. All of us are slaves. We're born slaves. Slaves to selfishness. You understand that, right? Slaves to evil thoughts and deeds. Slaves to sin. Jesus can free us from that. Jesus can redeem us. He can buy our freedom and set us free from whatever we're enslaved to. The people in Bethlehem, all of Israel, were looking for freedom. They were looking for freedom from Roman rule. They were looking for freedom from Herod, an evil king that the Romans had put there as a puppet. They were looking for freedom from religious oppression, and Jesus brought them freedom. As an adult, Jesus will say these words. He will say, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." He's offering freedom from everything that is wrong in each of us. Whatever is wrong in yourself, whatever selfishness or anger or bitterness or whatever baggage you have, Jesus is offering freedom from that. It's not that Jesus doesn't notice our moral flaws. He loves us beyond them. There's a woman that he meets in John chapter 4. He meets her at a well, so we call her the woman at the well. Her story tells me that Jesus loves us through our sins. She's had 5 husbands. No one starts out marriage hoping, you know what, I'm really glad to be married to this guy. I hope I can get married to 4 more just like him after bitter divorces on each one of them. No one's looking for that. She has 5. When Jesus meets her, she's living with yet another. So what does Jesus do when he sees her? He engages her in conversation. He doesn't ignore her problem. He doesn't ignore her because of her problem. He speaks to her like a human being with respect, with dignity, and with even love. She is, spiritually speaking, just swept off her feet by the idea that the Messiah has come and spoken to her, and she runs off to tell others, I just met a guy that knows everything about me, and he talked to me anyway. Could this be the chosen one of God? You see, Jesus loves her because he was there to free her from herself. He was there to redeem her. She probably didn't even know it, but she was awaiting a redeemer. Most clearly, they awaited a savior. Simeon and Anna speak for an entire world of people who are looking for Jesus. When Mary and Joseph bring their child, Jesus, to the temple for dedication, this man named Simeon approaches them. He has been nudged by the Spirit of God to go over and see them. Then he knew, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what we've all been waiting for. This is the Savior. And immediately, having been moved by the Holy Spirit to go over to see Jesus, the Son of God, he speaks to the Father in heaven and says, my eyes have seen your salvation. There's the word, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon was awaiting a Savior, and he got one, the only one. And in the same way, Anna doubles up on his observation. She's 84 years old. And at that very moment, she approaches Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and affirms Simeon's message. They were awaiting a Savior. And we verbalize the same thing in a song that we often sing in church. It says, a child has been given, the King of our freedom. Sing, for the light has come. This is Christmas. Come and adore him and bring gifts before him. Joy to the world. Worship the Son. This is Christmas. This is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Tell all the world, we have a Savior. We have a Savior. We are no longer lost because he has come down for us. We have a Savior. We don't await the light. The light of the world has come. We don't await a Redeemer. He has already done the work of redemption when he went to the cross. We don't await a Savior. He has already arrived. So I guess my question is, what are we waiting for? What are you waiting for? I told you that when I picked up Tim at the airport, he was carrying luggage. He was carrying baggage with him. One checked bag, remember? One carry-on and a laptop case. Here's what he didn't do. He didn't carry them around with him for the rest of his life. When he got to the place that he could set them down, that's exactly what he did. If you look over and see Tim sitting in the pew on Christmas Eve, he is not surrounded by those three items of baggage. He has unloaded them. That's what we do with our baggage. You unload it. But some of us haven't done that yet. Some people seem to be waiting for something. Maybe they're waiting for the light to shine in their hearts and show them what stuff needs to stay and what stuff needs to go. The light is here. He is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. When you see the darkness in your heart and you see your need, he is the one who can take that. What are you waiting for? Some people are waiting for a Redeemer. They're waiting for someone to set them free. They're kind of like slaves who, maybe after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation and the conclusion of the Civil War, these slaves didn't go free. They stayed with their owners, who weren't even their owners anymore. I'm not sure why. Maybe they didn't know they were free. Maybe they liked being enslaved. Maybe they didn't believe that a redemption had come. But a redemption has come. What are you waiting for? Some people are waiting for a Savior. Well, the text says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The Savior has come. He has paid for your sin. And because of him, you can be forgiven. And because of him, you can have eternal life. What are you waiting for? So this Christmas Eve, drop your baggage. Drop the guilt you've been carrying around. When you come to Jesus, he takes your guilt. And you're free from guilt and shame. Now, Satan, the enemy, he would like you to remain in chains of guilt. He would tell you that you can never be forgiven, that you are not lovable, that you have no value, that you indeed have been abandoned by God. But do not believe him. You have a Savior. Bring that baggage to the Savior and drop it. Maybe this Christmas Eve you can drop the baggage of bitterness that you're carrying around. Bitterness you have toward that one family member who said that thing she said that can't be unsaid. Well, it can't be unsaid. There's no way for her to undo it. Maybe she doesn't even want to undo it. Maybe she would say it again if she got the chance. But you can be free from the bondage and hurt it has caused you, and she doesn't even need to say she's sorry. you can forgive her. That is God's gift to you. The Son can set you free. Drop the baggage of bitterness. Or maybe this Christmas you need to drop your shame. I sometimes think that shame is worse than guilt. Guilt is often about what you've done. Shame seems to be about who you are. But even you too in the Joshua tree agrees with Scripture when Bono sings of Jesus saying, "You broke the bonds and you loosed the chains, carried the cross, and all my shame." So what are you carrying around that shame for? Why do you carry that baggage? Drop your baggage. Drop your baggage with Jesus. He will dispose of it properly. The greatest gift you can give this Christmas might just be one that you give yourself. When you come to Jesus, you come into the light. You see your own problems, and you see God's resolution, Jesus. When you come to Jesus, you come into freedom, and He redeems you and sets you free from slavery to your selfishness and all the stuff about yourself that you're ashamed of and you don't like. Jesus sets you free from that. He sets you free from punishment that you had coming by having taken that punishment for you on the cross. So go to Him tonight. Just agree with Him. Jesus, I need you. I need forgiveness. I need you to free me. I need you to save me. And He will do just that.